Burley, and you want to hear the rest of the questions. Hello and welcome to our monthly practitioner call for, this is our general Q&A, open Q&A for people in the various practitioner programs that are doing self-study or the people that are in the year-long and the year-and-a-half-long certification program. So this is just your place where you can come and ask questions. There's no formal lecture. There's no theme. It can be a question about anything at all related to your client cases. It could be related to the insulin resistance. It could be related to labs. It could be related to how do I get somebody to stop eating gluten. It could be whatever you want it to be. So thank you so much for being here, and thank you to Beverly for catching that error on. So if you are more interested in just listening in on the web rather than being on the phone, just watch your email over the next 5-10 minutes. Stacy's going to be sending out the correct link to you all, and I apologize for that that problem. So here's how these calls go. If you're on the phone and you have a question and you just take your hand and you raise it and I see it. No, that's not how it works. You type in *2 and that raises your hand virtually. A little hand on my board comes up and I see it and then I call on you and I open up your mic. So we keep it in lecture mode so that we don't hear your background noise because, inevitably there's dogs barking and lawnmowers going and dishes clanking and all that. But we will open it up at the end for people to just connect with each other as well. So when you come to these calls, even if you don't have questions, it's a good idea to come to the calls because you learn from each other's calls. And somebody said to me, I like so much better getting on a call with multiple people asking their questions rather than me just asking my question, because I get to actually hear, I have that question too. I didn't even realize I have that question, or that's something I'd like an answer to. So I'm excited to have you here. So *2 will raise your hand. Now, if nobody raises their hand, we have a very short call. So raise your hand, even if it's just to say hi and tell me how things are going and what kind of things you've been up to since Shine or since IRSPT or any other things you want to share with me. So *2, let's get chatting. And we have Tracy, of course. Tracy always raises her hand. Yay.
Hi. Hello, everyone. I'm not in a real quiet place. I apologize, but my son is at swim practice, so I'm trying to keep it as quiet as I can. But my question is about glutathione, and just what are your thoughts on it? I was recently reading something more about avocado because I enjoy it and I recommend it a lot to clients, and I read something that it contains glutathione. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, it actually is a source. It's not like a huge amount of glutathione, but it does contain glutathione, and it contains glutathione precursors. What I think about glutathione, when you ask me what do you think about glutathione, it's like, what do you think about greens, and what do you think about fresh whole foods, and what do you think about...
Okay.
It's like, it's brilliant. It's an amazing nutrient and antioxidant, and is one of the critical ones. I'm going to put you on... Oh, no, you're fine now. Excuse me. Yeah, so it's one of the major things, and especially in our society right now, because there's so much toxicity, and we're exposed to so much, and we're exposed to so much stress, our glutathione stores get massively broken down. Glutathione is critical for mitochondrial function, which means energy. So if you're seeing a lot of people who are dragging and you're suspecting that their mitochondria might not be working real well, really important. It's really important also for autoimmune diseases, for calming the fires of autoimmune disease, especially Hashimoto's. I find it to be very useful.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. Who do we have next? We have New York. Who's our New Yorker?
That's Mia.
Hi, Mia.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. I have a logistic question about the retreat that's planned.
Yes.
Is that the same one? Are we back? Are we piggybacking on May 2nd through 4th?
We are, and you didn't get an email about that. I had specifically asked that an email be sent out earlier in the week. So I'll tell you guys about it. Our retreat is going to be the 29th, 30th, and the 1st of May. So 29th, 30th of April, and then the 1st of May. And then the big 3-day Spring into Vitality, which is a general public where all the, you know, our clients are coming to, which would be May 2nd to 4th.
Okay, what day does it start? What did you say again?
April 30th. April 29th, 30th, and then May 1st. And it's
going
to be at a beautiful retreat yoga center in south of where we are in Austin, south of where Shine was. And it's a beautiful, it's got beautiful grounds. They've got hiking trails. They've got massage people on staff. Their chef came to Shine, and I spoke to her afterwards. She goes, "Oh, we could easily do food for your people. We already do, you know, amazing food there, so we can easily do great food." And the rooms are it's much more reasonably priced than going to a hotel, which is great because you can have roommates, you could share, or you can have your own room. And they include the food price into the, you know, it's like $95 a night or something, and that includes food. So it's pretty darn nice.
Excellent.
Yes, I'm excited about it. Plus, it's the grounds. I'm even going to stay there, and I just live half an hour away from it.
So if it starts the 29th, is it best to fly in the 28th, would you say?
I would say, yeah.
Early?
Okay. I would say, yeah, because we'll start in the morning. I want us to get 3 full days because it'll go by fast.
Thank you. Yes. Okay. That helps with planning. Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. And we'll get an email. It was supposed to go out early this week, and we've just had a little, let's just say, unrest here.
Okay.
And we're shorthanded. So.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Very good.
Thanks for asking.
Okay.
All right. So, Maura.
Hello. How are you?
Great. Long time no talk to you.
Yes, yes. So that retreat that the lady previously was just talking about, is that for, who is all that for?
That's for the nutritional endocrinology practitioner training. And
You
guys in ERSPC, I'll be talking to you guys about how you can attend if you want to do that too. So.
Okay, if we wanted to do the retreat before the spring and Vitality.
Great. Great.
All right. Yeah, because that just you talking about it sparks some interest.
Yeah.
We've
been working on getting the announcement out, the public announcement for Spring into Vitality all week. Stacey's been doing a marvelous job on that. And then I guess we were waiting on the finalization. That might be why we're finalizing with the group, with the retreat center, so we could actually give you all the information. But I think we just needed to send out an email that says, here, these are the dates, reserve them, and we'll give you the details in a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
And you know how great, you really enjoyed the retreat last year, the practitioner retreat last year, if you want to say a few words to people about how empowering that was.
Oh, yeah. You want me to say a few words?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, the retreat was amazing, was wonderful, was, you know, great, just as good as Spring and Vitality. In fact, you know, I loved it just as much. It was very empowering. It was more like a personal empowerment, mm-hmm. where I felt then going into Spring and Vitality was more learning.
Mm-hmm.
But the retreat was more like personal learning, like you learned a lot about yourself. And was very uplifting. So that was.
Everybody worked on their vision for their practice, like what they wanted to focus on and how they wanted to do it and what kind of clients they wanted to attract. We also had some really great cases where people broke up into groups, and I gave each one a case to work on, and it was actual cases from my files, and then they worked together. And one played the client, and one played the practitioner, and one played the observer. And they kind of worked through, like, how you would do with a real complicated case. So there was stuff like that. There was all sorts of stuff, and there were some amazing breakthroughs. That's the thing I was really thrilled with, like people breaking through and going, ah, this is how I want to do this. This is where I want to go with my practice. It was really cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought the retreat was very empowering. Very motivating, great information, great connecting with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say enough good things about it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I guess my question kind of leads into that retreat, because it was something we talked about at our retreat, was doing like a mastermind group. Mm-hmm. So I was just thinking, you know, just like, so I was just throwing that out there for any talk, discussion, something in the future, just like how we have the accountability partners as far as the energy recharge coaching.
Right.
I think it's great to get anyone that would be interested in like a mastermind group.
Right. You mean the people who have already been through, like in your group, to get everybody together to do an ongoing mastermind once the educational pieces are over. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's on my radar for sure.
Okay. And then also, I mean, if there wasn't enough interest, like, in our group alone, then, you know, anyone that was in your new group going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was just throwing it out there again.
Great. Thank you. Super.
Sure.
All right. Who else has their hand up? Tracy has her hand up again. Yay.
Hi. I have a question regarding the content for the NEPT. I know you're still working on things, and I did email you about digestion. So were you saying that digestion is something we're going to probably work on later in the month? Like, is it nearer to April? Or I think you mentioned in the NEPT, like, there's a section. Are you going to have a section where you're focusing on digestion?
Yeah, if you look at the list, if you look at the paper that you got at Spring Into Vitality,
mm-hmm.
the 12-pager,
that
had the list of modules, module 1, 2, 3, 4. That's the order we're going to go through.
Okay.
Okay, and I've got it in front of me, but I don't have the exact, like, some of them are one-week modules. Some of them are four-week
mm-hmm.
modules. Some of them are two-week
okay.
modules. So I've kind of very loosely laid that out. And so digestion would probably not – oh, you're talking about the digestion module for the general public, right? Is that what you're asking about?
Well, you had mentioned there was one on digestion, and there was, I think, something on thyroid. And I wanted to share those with some other
folks,
not people.
Got it.
EPT,
no, now I understand. Yes, the digestion mm-hmm. will be probably September.
Oh, okay, September.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, I thought, and hopefully it might correspond to the same time in NEPT, but I'm not, you know, that could be a little bit more difficult to coordinate. But it's
I do have one other question, if I can.
Yeah.
This one is more on cleansing, and I know you're doing the green cleanse again, which mm-hmm. is awesome. But, you know, I've often heard people talk about you really should cleanse the organs in order, like starting below and working your way up. Have you ever heard anything like that?
No, that sounds like an Ayurvedic or maybe a Chinese medicine concept.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do specific cleanses for specific organs.
Okay.
I mean, at least that's not the programs that I have. If I'm working individually with someone, I'll be customizing that. What do they need
right.
to work with? But in general, mm-hmm. my cleanses are more of the general cleanses. And then there's a digestive cleanse that we do with the digestive module.
And if someone has some liver issues, then, of course, you're working on their liver and you're working on – I feel like you're kind of working on everything, right? Because you've got to get their – heal their gut.
You got to
balance
the
blood sugar.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
And it's really – when you're working one-on-one with people, it's identifying – what really is the most important thing? If they have gut stuff, but the highest in severity is, say, their sex hormones, you can work on their sex hormones, but if you don't fix their gut, they're you're just
right.
not going to get permanent resolution. So it really has to – all the foundations have to be covered.
Okay.
And sometimes you don't even have to work on the sex hormones. You know, if somebody has hot flashes or they're having some specific things and you know that a particular set of herbs can give them symptomatic relief, by
mm-hmm.
all means, do it. But do it while you're working on healing and balancing the foundations. Otherwise, they're just going to – they'll be on that for a while and it'll stop working and then they'll be looking for the next thing. And yeah, it just really – it's a process. And I know it's
yeah.
so much when you've got somebody sitting in front of you and they've got this going on and that going on and this going on. But it's really important to not lose sight of the foundations. And, of course, you know, if you know stuff to give them temporary relief, like if I had somebody in and I'm working on some long-term stuff, but they've got, you know, an adjustment that they need, or some acupuncture that they need, or a specific herb that would help. Well, I'll tell you one thing where some of the foundations helped dramatically. In one case I had years ago, she came in and she was very, very overweight, and she'd had knee pain for the last 20 years. And she'd been told she had degeneration in her knees, and they were really bad. But she really wanted to get healthy, and she wanted to lose weight. And so the first thing I did was look at her, and I said, I looked at what she was eating, and you know how acidity in the system will contribute to inflammation and pain. So I said, there's a lot that we can do, and I just kind of laid it out for her. And I said, but here's what I want you to do to get started. You see this piece of paper, and it was an acid-alkaline chart. I said, I want you to eat 80% of your food from the left-hand side of the paper and 20% from the right-hand side of the paper. And we'll get back together after I've had a chance to go through all your labs and stuff, and we'll come up with a plan. But in the meantime, that's what I want you to do. Easy enough.
Oh, I love that.
She called me back. 4 days later, she said, could that have gotten rid of knee pain in 4 days? I went, well, that's kind of quick. but she was restoring balance.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you about that. And so many things stem from inflammation in the body. And I was wondering if a couple things would be, one, to get all the acidic foods, out of their diet, bring them more alkaline, but also start working on their digestion.
Absolutely. And that's what we, look at people and start with that. If they're willing to do one thing, you can start with that. You also have to look at, with inflammation, you have to look at fatty acid balance.
Okay.
That's critical, because the fatty acid pathways lead to those either inflammatory or anti-inflammatory chemicals. So fatty acid balance is key. And when I take people through the energy recharge, and we'll be going through this, the order and the schemes of everything and the foundations as we go through NEPT, but really working on that acid-alkaline balance and the fatty acids give you almost the most bang for the buck at the beginning without them having to do too terribly much. And then gluten-free, of course, if that's an issue, that can be huge for people. But that's a harder one. Eat these foods, and less of these foods, more of these foods is a lot easier than go gluten-free right at the beginning. And they get motivated when they start to see themselves feeling better and having more energy, and they go, okay, what's next?
So I'm glad you said that about the gluten, because, see, I already think that people shouldn't eat it, but maybe it might be too much in the beginning if they have the standard American diet to say, okay, I don't want you to eat these foods, and I don't want you to eat gluten. So I'm happy to hear you say that.
Yeah, and I make a decision if they're coming in with an autoimmune disease. If they're coming in with a disease that I know they and it's overt, it's really obvious what their symptoms are, but that's not generally the stuff. It depends on the person, right? If you get somebody who's really educated and has been trying for a long time and tried this and is doing the fats and is doing the alkaline stuff, and then you just go right to the heart of it and go to the gluten. But you need to build their trust. You need to build their trust.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else? You guys are all quiet. I'm going to look to see if anybody came on the webcast. 6 people came on. Yay, Stacy must have sent out her email. So if you're on the webcast, I'm going to check the Q&A and see if there's any questions. Oh, good. Bayari says she received the correct link. Actually, at work, so can't stay on long. Just wanted to apologize. Okay, great. Beverly's testing 1, 2, 3. Yay! And Heather, yay! I'll listen to the replay if you already answered this. Wanted to get really clear on the exact date, time, location, program start, end for both INE and the Vitality Conference. Great. Okay. So, Heather, we did talk about this briefly. I'm going to repeat it because there's a bunch of people that came on since. This is for people in NEPT, the Nutritional Endocrinology Practitioner Training, and that the retreat is actually starting on the 29th, 30th, and the 1st of May. So the 29th and 30th of April and the 1st of May. And then Spring Into Vitality starts the next day, the 2nd, 3rd, 4th. We're going to finish in the early afternoon on that third day, the 1st, somewhere like 2 o'clock. You guys are welcome to stay on the grounds of the yoga center. If I were you, I would just stay overnight, that one more night, because the overnight fees there are so much better. You can hang out on the grounds. You can go hiking together. There's a lot that you can do and just hang out there, get massages. And then the Friday, Saturday, Sunday is on in more up in the north end of Austin at the Holiday Inn, and that's going to be the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So if traveling, I would travel on it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So I would travel on Monday night and leave either Monday night or preferably Sunday night or Monday morning from if you're staying all the way through the SIV to the end. So that's that. And we haven't sent out the announcement. I thought it had gone out early in the week just to say save these dates, but apparently it hadn't. We're still waiting on the from the center that'll give us all the how do you make your reservation and all. But we'll probably send out an email tomorrow that just basically says, hey, here's the save the dates, get it all booked, and we'll give you the details of the hotels. And the stuff for Spring into Vitality you guys already got. So, all right. Thank you, Heather. Glad you're here. Yay. Right, no more questions there. I just did a refresh. Let's see who's on the web. I can't see people on the web. Our future calls, we're probably going to do these on Maestro because I like to be able to see who's on the web rather than just, Yeah, we can see it that way. All right, so any more questions? No, eh? Okay. So we could just open up the lines and you guys can just have a chat? Okay, Quiro, Texas. I think that's Glenn. Is that Glenn?
Yep.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
If someone has ongoing issues with depression and anxiety, how important do you think it is to do the organic acid test?
You know, it depends on what other stuff they've tried. Oftentimes, I was saying this the other day on one of our calls, was that I'm a big fan of doing as little testing initially as possible, because a lot of times you just look at what have they done, what have they been, you know, if somebody comes in and they're depressed and they're anxious and they're eating gluten and they're eating candy bars and they don't drink green juice and they're just, you know, stress bunnies, there's a lot we can do before jumping in and getting an organic acid test. So the organic acid test I usually will run after I've worked with the person a while, or if they come in and say, look, I'm depressed, I'm anxious, I've been doing this, I've been doing that, and nothing's helping, what can be going on? Then I would do the organic acid test. But I'd probably look at their regular blood work first just to see if there's some obvious stuff. But if they're doing all the things that I normally would have them do, then I'd want to see what the organic acids are telling me.
Okay.
Or test things out first. You know, even if they're not, and you get them to do some of this stuff, and you use the charts that we have. Glenn's been through the CAT program all the way through, so he has access to the organic acid testing and all the other things. But if you look at the charts that we gave you for differentiating between serotonin deficiency and GABA problems and dopamine, and you kind of have a good feel for where their imbalances might lie, and you go ahead and start using the herbs and the supplements to help them address that, and of course the diet and lifestyle things, and then they don't respond the way you think they're going to respond, then maybe doing the organic acid. And the other thing is, a lot of it, when people don't respond, it's a dose dependent. I was recently reading, Datis Karazian has a new book called something, Why Does My Brain Not Work, or something really, really easy title like that. And he basically said, you know, people make the mistake of trying certain supplements and it doesn't work, so then they move on to the next thing, rather than really working with titrating gradually up the level that you're taking. So if you think that somebody's going to do well on, say, taking some herbs and maybe some 5-HTP, you put them on the cofactors and you put them on 5-HTP, and then you put on a little bit and you watch. And he said if it's having an effect, they should notice some subtle difference within an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then if that doesn't do it, the next dose they take a little more, and then they take a little more, and then they keep taking a little bit more until you start to notice a difference, or you've hit the maximum safe dose of that. And then you can say, well, I guess that wasn't going to work. So it's a matter of really, really working with it.
Okay.
Okay. And Tracy.
So this is a question regarding gluten. I once heard Donna Gates say that you cannot have gluten in your diet, and even if you have the size of your pinky nail, it's still going to create a real inflammatory response. And I'm wondering, is there a way that you can speed up the release of the gluten out of the diet, or is it just cleansing the body? Is there anything you can do?
You mean if they've done that, right, and they get the inflammatory response? It depends on how much they've had. Generally, just building them up, you know, a lot of antioxidants and supporting the immune system, supporting the digestion. But a lot of times it just has to make its way through. There is an herb from Transformation Enzymes, not an herb, an enzyme formulation. I think it's called Carbo-G, and it's for accidental gluten exposures. It's not for going out and deciding you're going to eat a piece of bread because you feel like it and you're going to take that with it, because you'd have to take 3 or 4, 5 bottles of it in order to counteract one piece of bread. But if you just get an accidental small exposure, that can speed the breakdown of it and get it out. But you have to do it right away. It's not like you can wait till you get home and do it. If you're at a restaurant and, for example, a naturopath that I know, what she does is she carries it with her. And if she's out at a restaurant, even if they say they have gluten-free stuff, she just doesn't trust it, so she just takes some of that with her meal. She still chooses everything gluten-free, but she just, in case they didn't clean the grill and in case something got cross-contaminated or in case a little bit of soy sauce got mixed in with it, she's going to have less of a reaction.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. And it's interesting, you know, she says the size of a thumbnail. If you ask Tom O'Brien and some of the people that spoke on Gluten Summit, they're talking like a tiny, tiny crumb. And one time he said, I think he said a hundredth of a, I can't remember the exact fraction of a piece of bread. And so someone decided she was going to see how big that was, and she just kept cutting the bread, you know, in halves again until she got to whatever that number was. And she said it was literally a crumb. And
wow.
It's been shown that will trigger a reaction. And I know for myself it's done that. I had an accidental exposure to soy sauce, which was in a tahini dressing that I had on a huge salad. And it wasn't like dripping in dressing. It was just like restaurant size portion of the dressing, which had a little bit of this soy sauce. And I got really sick after I was wondering, what the heck is going on with me? My gut is all messed up. I feel tired. I never feel tired. What's going on with me? And I didn't even finish my dinner. My stomach just was bothering me so much. And I had leftovers. And the next day I felt okay, but still my stomach was a little off. And I got hungry, and I ate the rest of that salad, and the whole thing started over again. And that's when I got suspicious. So I went back to the restaurant and I asked them. And it was just a tiny bit of wheat in a little bit of soy sauce in a little bit of salad dressing on a big salad. And my stomach wasn't the same for many weeks.
Mm. That's good to know. Yeah, I often wonder about, I know wheat-free tamari people use a lot, and I'm assuming it's, I don't know if it's been tested down to the what to make sure there's no gluten in it.
Yeah. I think they're pretty safe. I've talked to folks who are really, really sensitive and who test that stuff. You know the guy who runs Health Force Nutritionals, Jamie
yeah.
Sheridan? I was speaking to him once a few years back, and he was talking about how his wife was so sensitive. And I said, well, are those gluten-free tamaris really safe? He says, well, you know, there are brands that are, and they really are gluten-free because my wife can eat it. And we've, you know, I don't think he actually paid money to get it tested like he does for his supplements. But he knows his wife is super, super sensitive, and she was fine with it. And he's pretty pristine about his stuff. So, you know, you never know. I mean, if you eat lettuce and you eat celery and you eat kale and you don't put anything on it, or you don't let anybody else put anything on it, you usually know that you're pretty safe. But once you get into eating anything that's been prepared in someone else's kitchen, there's always a possibility.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, Vancouver.
Well, that's me.
Hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Yay. I just wanted to say something about the gluten thing, the microscopic little bits of gluten.
Yes.
For me, if I have something in a supplement or something that, you know, it can be less than a crumb. And I don't notice it in my stomach, but I notice it in my joints. And it goes on for months.
Oh, my.
So I guess it just depends on the person.
It does. It does.
But, yeah, it's just, it's very, very, very small amounts.
Oh, and less than a crumb. How do you know it's less than a crumb? How have you?
I know because I'm so careful with what I eat, you know, and there might be, I might just have a package of supplements that I haven't read the fine print on,
yeah.
You know, and then I start to move into pain, and then I have to go back and be a detective and figure out what was the element.
What was
that,
it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because this is something I want to throw out to you guys because your patients are going to say this, your clients are going to say this to you. Well, I don't have any symptoms after I eat it. And a lot of people don't get the joint symptoms. They don't get the gut symptoms or the brain symptoms like I did. What they get is a subtle increase in antibodies. So a little bit of attack on the thyroid or a little bit of an attack on some of the brain tissue that mm-hmm. they wouldn't notice then. But they notice it 20 or 30 years later, an accumulative effect. Okay? And an interesting story that Tom O'Brien told me when I was interviewing him before the gluten summit, and he said that he, when they first came out with this antibody test through Cirrix Labs, and it tested all these antibodies, of course he wanted to get it done so he knew what it was like so he could recommend it to his patients. And so he did, and he when it came back, he called the lab because you gave me somebody else's results. This can't be my results. And they're like, what? What are you talking about? We double-check. And he said, you're going to have to run this again. And they did. And they said, this is your results. And he had 3 brain antibodies. He goes, but I feel fine. I'm really smart. I'm really alert. I have lots of energy. How can I have brain antibodies? And he said, so then he decided to get to, and I said to him when he said that, I said, well, weren't you gluten-free at the time? He goes, and he laughed, and he said, well, almost.
Yeah.
So he was having these occasional, like, not really being super careful. And he had this tendency. And he basically said he went on a heal the leaky gut protocol, went a completely gluten-free, and 6 months later the antibodies are gone. So we want our patients to know that subtle, you know, that subtle feeling that you may have always had and you won't notice that you had it until it goes away of, like, maybe not being quite 100% there mentally, or of having just this slight little discomfort somewhere, that when it goes away, you know it when it comes back. But it's so you're so accustomed to that just slightly low level of function that you don't even get it, that there's a problem. And that's why they eat gluten and they don't notice it, because it's kind of
Yeah,
because
it's like, oh, I feel fine.
I feel fine.
Oh, I had a pita last week. I'm still fine. I'll have another one or whatever.
Yeah. I remember talking to one of my patients, and she was saying how she had a lot of depression. And I said, so how are you doing on the gluten-free? She goes, oh, it's so hard. She goes, every couple of weeks I just break down and I have bread. I just can't. I get this uncontrollable desire, and I can't fight it, and I have it. So, right, we're detectives, like you said. So I started asking her questions, and I said, well, I'm trying to get at maybe she's having some accidental gluten exposure that's triggering the opiate response that's triggering the craving. So she, I said to her, do you ever eat Chinese food? She goes, yeah, we eat Chinese food. I said, so how often do you go out for Chinese food? She goes, eh, you know, once every couple of weeks. And I said, well, how often do you have bread cravings? And she just like, oh, my God, I wonder if it's related. And right? Mm-hmm. Go have Chinese food. Have that little bit of wheat and that little bit of soy sauce. Don't have any kind of bad, you know, skin response or gut response or headache or anything. But the next day, you can't stop your craving for bread because it triggered those opiate mm-hmm. receptors. It woke them up. And they're like, mm-hmm. feed me. Yeah. Cool.
It's awfully sad to watch people go through that, though, if that's the process. If people have to go through it and then understand what it's like to feel bad again and then
yep.
go back because it takes so many months.
I know, it just sets them back. But you know what?
It's sad.
They won't listen to you when you tell them, usually. Some of them will. But it's like my mother would say to me, I just want you to learn from my mistakes. Don't do that. And I just would defiantly say to her, I'm going to learn from my own mistakes. Thank you very much. Like,
yeah,
it's the same thing, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Get burned and then go, oh, I guess I got burned. I guess I won't do that again.
Cool.
Test
yeah.
the waters. Push the envelope. Yeah. There's so much that we deal with when we're working with patients and clients, and it's so beyond just having just the technical skills of knowing, you know, and understanding and asking. It's just really like playing that game of understanding where they're at, where their psyche's at, and giving them that little piece that's going to motivate mm-hmm. them to do the next piece. When you know you mm-hmm. just want to lift, give them this big long list and they're going to feel better in 5 days, but you have to kind of feel it out. I had somebody on one of my calls in the Energy Recharge Coaching Program, which is our year-long program for clients, and I've worked with her for like 4 years, and she came to me for a consultation once, and she was very reticent. Like, you could tell that she just wanted one thing to do, and I told her, you know, Google Build, and you know, she'd go away, and then 6 months later, she'd make another appointment, and then 6 months later, she'd make another appointment. And now she's like, you know, she's almost 100% raw. She's off of all sugar. She doesn't drink wine anymore. She's doing meditation. She's just doing all this stuff. And now she's just like, her health is so much better. And I had her on a call the other night, and I said, if I had told you 4 years ago when you first came in to see me that this was the diet that you were going to be following and this was the lifestyle you were going to be leading, what do you think you would have done 4 years ago? She said, I would have run away and never come back.
Mm-hmm.
But she worked into it.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's hopeful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beverly.
Hidey-ho.
Hidey-ho.
The test that Tom O'Brien had done at Cyrex or Cyrex.
Yeah.
Do you know which one it was? And
yeah.
also, because if you go on their website, of course, there's a variety of different.
Yeah, it's antibodies. Array 5.
Oh, it's Array 5?
Yeah.
Okay. Multiple autoimmune reactivity
yes.
screen. Okay,
yes.
great.
Yes.
And that one, obviously, from looking at it, oh, yeah, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It's also quite pricey. It's like $550.
Is it?
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have to follow up if you're going to do it, right?
Yeah, but it's not the kind of thing where you're following up regularly, like vitamin D. Like, you wouldn't go 6 weeks to 3 months and follow it up every, you know, you might put somebody on a protocol, and because it's going to take them a lot to really get everything in balance. To get to that point, you know, unless there's somebody who's already there and it's just a matter of, oh, just get them off of gluten and, or get them off of, you know, something they're allergic to and put some antioxidants in. But it's usually a longer educational process. So, yeah, I think once you've done it once, you can just go back and redo the ones that were abnormal. Mm. So if it showed up that you had anti-collagen antibodies or something, you could just go back and do the anti-collagen antibodies.
Is there any that are more comprehensive than that even on there?
No. I mean, that's the only one they have for antibodies other than the gluten antibodies, and that is, like, it's more comprehensive than any place else. If you were to try to run each of those antibody tests through, say, you know, a LabCorp,
mm-hmm.
they'd probably run $2,500 or $3,000 because
mm-hmm.
each of those antibody, like thyroid antibodies alone, run like $90 to do the two of them. Right, and then so that's just one of the things. So there's a fifth of the test, and then if you were to run intrinsic factor antibodies or ANA, ever try to run ANA and RA antibodies,
yep.
you're running into a lot of money.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
But and I feel for the people that have absolutely no insurance. It's like,
oh, I know.
Oh my God,
I know.
It's ridiculous. But yeah, that's good to know. And then if you have a patient that doesn't want to do any testing, they don't want to believe, and I know you've heard, you've said this, I've heard you mention it many times being on all the calls, if you have a patient that doesn't want to do this test, but they want proof that they have a gluten issue without, like you said, there's so many people that are just out of touch. They're showing symptoms, but they don't see or want to recognize
right.
them. They're in total denial. Is there, where do you go next with these people that want help?
I generally run Entero Lab, the gluten antibody, the stool antibody, $99. So it's a minimal investment compared to the rest of this. And it's proof for a lot of people. They go, oh. And it will. It's the most sensitive one I've seen. I mean, the only difference, the Cirex ones that test the 20 different subfractions of the gluten, they will catch things if you don't have if the allergy or the sensitivity is not to the gliadin, which is the most common one. So it's when you would run that. If I really suspected that somebody had gluten intolerance and they really wanted the proof, I would run the $99 Entero Lab panel. And then if that came back negative, I would be scratching my head going, oh, my God, that's crazy. Then I would ask them to run that, I think it's a $200 panel that's a blood, but it does IgA and IgG to all the subfractions of gluten. And if
so
that came back negative, then I would probably, and I really thought they had a problem, I don't know what I would do. I have never had that happen before because usually when I suspect it, they do show up.
And IgA and IgG are run from Entero Labs with that $99 antibody?
It's just the A because it's stool.
The
G is in the blood, right? So stool is A. And
okay.
it's most accurate if they do have it. Generally, they're going to have – it's really rare for them to have the allergy to some of the subfractions without the – if they have the A in the – if they don't have the A in the colon, they usually – I mean, it's certainly true. It can be because that's why they develop the test. But if you just run IgG antibodies in the blood for gluten, large numbers of people come back negative.
Come back negative, yeah.
Because it's dose-dependent, too. It's, right? It has to have been a recent exposure for them to pick it up in the blood.
And a large amount, too. That's
right.
The other thing that's frustrating with
right.
these tests. They're very barbaric and they're not sensitive. And,
right.
And people are like, oh, well, I'm fine. This didn't show anything. I can have, you know, right. And they're
yeah,
right
they're
back
not
to their crackers and, you know, whatever.
Exactly. You know, the problem with that, too, is that with that Cirex Lab one is if somebody's been gluten-free, relatively gluten-free, like, you know, just with occasional exposure, in order for that blood test to actually show there's a problem, they usually have to go back and eat a bunch of gluten beforehand, which is pretty miserable to tell your patients to go do stuff that, you know, hurts them.
Yeah. I was thinking about doing that. I've been gluten-free completely except for maybe accidental
No, don't
exposure.
Do it. Do the stool test if you want to know.
Yeah.
Do the stool test.
But I'd love to see if there's antibodies, like, and you know, but you, of course, like you
yeah,
said,
but
you're going to have the exposure.
Don't expose yourself. No. No.
Don't worry,
don't do
I won't.
It. Don't do
okay.
it for the sake of science. No.
I know. I throw myself on the block for science too much.
No, don't
sometimes.
Do it. Don't do it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And by the way, my stool test, as you know, came back positive, if anybody's interested, for I did the BioHealth test, the stool test for to see,
H. pylori.
You know, if there was ova, parasites, or bacteria infection. I had been having a lot of bloating and discomfort, and it came back with an abundance of E. coli.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been taking, with Rita Marie and I were talking about this the day before yesterday, I started to use Oregon grape root.
Mm-hmm.
That I just bought, you know, bought the herb, cut and sifted, and poured the boiling water over it, let it sit overnight, and I've been drinking it. And I also talked to a friend of mine who owns a health food store here in Napa, and she also recommended using, of course, something I've been using all along too, grapefruit seed extract.
Yes, yeah.
And she just takes like 15, well, I took it to 30 drops three times a day.
Holy cow, you're brave.
I'm brave, and let me tell you, that's tough, but
yes.
I'm so motivated to get better that I don't care. I'm like your son. I'll eat cardboard if it takes that.
If it tastes that. Well,
yeah.
Good. And the thing that was positive about Beverly doing that test, about a year ago she had that same test done, and it showed her positive for H. pylori. And the protocol that she did for the H. pylori actually eradicated it without antibiotics. Yay!
That's right, everybody. And I'll tell you what, it's H. pylori is such a strong and difficult infection to clear, and it's been shown in some studies to be implicated in stomach cancers.
Yep.
And, of course, ulcers. We usually know of it as causing ulcers. But doctors are, if I understood this correctly, they are by law required to give you antibiotics if they find an H. pylori infection.
Mm.
It's that bad. And so I was really excited when I found out that I cleared it. And this biohealth lab, as you had mentioned, you had really great luck showing very, very good sensitivity.
Yeah, they're very sensitive for the H. pylori.
Right. And so I'm going to post them on our site about
on the Facebook.
What I use.
Yeah.
Put
it on the Facebook.
Okay, I
did
that Facebook.
Do it on the Facebook.
Sure.
Yeah, that'd be great. And that way everybody can see what you used. So if they're working with a client that has the H. pylori that doesn't want to do it. And by the way, and I'm just going to throw this out there, if a doctor is required by law to give you a prescription for something that shows up, you are not required by law to fill it or take it.
Ding, 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 ding.
I just want to throw that out there.
Repeat that, please.
I said it once. That's good enough.
I know. No, it's true. And everybody thinks, oh, well, my doctor said it. It must be right, and I've got to do it. You know, guys, I spent my whole life on antibiotics. The last thing I was going to do was I would have to be on my deathbed. I would be like, you have 3 hours to live or take this antibiotic kind of situation before I would do them. That's
yep.
how devastating they are to our bodies. And people just, they regularly take them like, oh, you know, I feel a little thing coming on. Let me pop an aspirin, you know, and instead of aspirin, I'll take antibiotics. And that's why we have the strong virulent strains of these bacteria that we do.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
because we're
well,
all
Well, I just noticed, Beverly,
happy.
That there's 3 more questions that came in and there's 8 more minutes
oh.
left to the call. So I forgot to look, and so I want to make sure I cover those. But thank you for sharing that. We would really look forward to seeing that on the
sure.
Facebook page.
Heather
wants to know about the yoga center being right in Austin. Yeah, you'll be flying both into and out of Austin, and the yoga center is actually closer to the airport than we are up here. It's probably like 15, 20 minutes away from the airport. And Steph says, so clarify, you would work on the pro-inflammatory and anti-inflammatory fats before gluten. I found that some people avoid the gluten, but I have trouble driving the point home that it's a microscopic. Yeah, that, you and me both, because that's what they don't realize it's the microscopic thing. And just a little bit is okay. So whether I work on that before or after, generally if I'm going through and trying to get them, I generally do that depending on what they're presenting with, right? If they're presenting with something that's clearly got to get them off gluten right away, then I'll go that way and work with them on the fats as well. But yeah, especially if I'm working with a group and I'm trying to just build on the habits, I'll talk to them about the pro-inflammatory and the anti-inflammatories fats. I'll talk to them about getting more greens in their diet. I'll have them look at the acid-alkaline balance. And then we'll go, okay, now we're going to tackle gluten. And with gluten, I'll often, if they're really heavy-duty into it, I'll start with, okay, let's get the major gluten out first, right? Just get the pasta, the stuff that they can easily, and I don't, not that I'm a big fan of them having pasta or bread at all, but you have to work with people in stages where they're at. So I'll say, okay, let's just get you on the brown rice bread instead of the wheat bread, and let's get you on the brown rice pasta or the quinoa pasta instead of the wheat, and then we start to look at, okay, what else is there and where else, and then have them go through the five-page list of hidden ingredients and then start to talk about, you know, when you go into a restaurant, you want to make sure that you be really, really careful about when they say it's gluten-free, are they cleaning the grill and all that. So thank you. And Irene says, both you and David Winston have mentioned bitters. Tell us how important you think these are. Thanks. Yeah, I really think they're important because so many people have low stomach acid. And I see that a lot when I do their lab tests. Just their general blood test. They have a lot of low protein, low albumin, low BUN. And all of these are indications that they're not absorbing real well. So I will have them go on bitters to trigger their body to make more HCl. A lot of doctors will put people on HCl, and sometimes I will do that too, but I'll always do it while I'm working on helping their body to make more. If we start practicing holistic and alternative nutrition work, in the same way that practitioners of allopathic medicine do, then really we're just giving, you know, this for that. So the bitters is at the heart, digestion is at the heart of everything, right? We have to get that working. And the bitters just jump starts the entire digestive tract. It jump starts the stomach acid, it jump starts the bile, it jump starts the, increases the secretion of the digestive enzymes. So, yep. Good questions. And Lisa, I have a friend with an autoimmune disease problem. She was diagnosed first with fibromyalgia, connective tissue disease, now maybe MS, eek. Now she's having some small seizures, heart palpitation, blood pressure dropping. She doesn't think food could be the problem. Could gluten or other food allergies cause these? Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. If somebody with an autoimmune thing, especially all the stuff you're mentioning and possibly MS, got to go gluten-free. There's a new book. I don't know if it's out yet, but it's the what was her name? She named it by her name, the protocol, Walls protocol, WAHLS protocol, where she wrote about her. She's an MD, and she wrote about her journey with food and MS. And how she's gotten herself in, you know, remission, let's just say, symptom-free when she was in a wheelchair before. And food is everything with it. Now, she went to functional medicine schools and learned how to, you know, do all the supplementation, was doing that, and then got the aha. Was getting a little bit of results, and then got the aha, well, I need to work with the food, too, and put herself on a grain-free diet, lots and lots and lots and lots of greens and cruciferous and berries and things like that, low glycemic. Sounds familiar? The diet she put herself on. She did use some organic meat in there, but you know, I think you can do it as a vegetarian. And in her book, she also showed, she said, look, people are going to eat what they're going to eat. I came from being vegetarian for many years. I decided to add some meat and fish there. But she said, I have recipes and meal plans, whether people want to eat meat or go paleo or not eat meat. But she's very specific, and all these autoimmune things respond phenomenally. And it's really sad to me when people think food can't be the cause. And as you're learning, the more you're learning, the more you're going to be able to explain things to people in a way that makes sense so that they can understand that the food is a big cause of the problem. Okay, we have two more minutes. Beverly said, could you please repeat how much and how often the Oregon grape root tea? I think if you make a quart of that every day and just drink it through the day, I would say a quart every day or two would be probably really good, and see how you feel with that. Tracy wants to know what grapefruit seed extract is good for. Grapefruit seed extract is a strong, very strong antimicrobial, so good for a lot of different kinds of microbes, overgrowth of bad bacteria in your gut, candida, if you have strep throat and you can even tolerate it, gargling with grapefruit seed extract has been shown to wipe out strep. The only problem is compliance because it tastes so god-awful. And if you're going to gargle with it, it's not the same as dosing it and diluting it and flavoring it over. But it's excellent for antimicrobial.
But it's got to be diluted even if you gargle with it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I made the mistake. Well, I did it once in a neti pot. And that's dilute, right, because it's 8 ounces with one drop. And, oh, my God, it irritated the heck out of my sinuses. So. Well, thank you all for being here. I so appreciate all the great questions and the discussion, and I'm really looking forward to seeing a lot of you in next month. So
thank
take
you.
Care. Bye-bye, everyone.